You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. California lawmakers wrapped up their session Friday night, not without some drama, which always comes with this deadline. And now Governor Brown needs to make some decisions, to sign or to veto. That is the question. CAP Radio's Capitol Bureau Chief Ben Adler is here to recap what did and didn't happen. And I don't say that to be light or trite about any of it, because what happens here at the finish line is critical, and especially for this governor. It was his final end of session.
He came onto the floors of both the Senate and the Assembly shortly before session wrapped up at midnight, a kind of final swan song for him. He did, of course, continue to make his joke that he'll still be around causing trouble, maybe as the senator from Colusa County.
Well, Colusa County is his roots, and since you say that, tomorrow we have Miriam Powell in the studio, who wrote The Browns of California and traces those roots back to Colusa County and further beyond. Anyway, how was the level of drama this time?
It was, I think, a little lower than past years for a couple of reasons. One is that the big bills, we kind of knew by Friday night that the biggest of the big ones, the wildfire liability legislation, was going to pass. And also, because of the 72-hour in-print rule approved by voters in 2016, a constitutional amendment that makes the legislature wait to vote on bills until they've been in print for three full days, you couldn't do any last-minute amendments at the 11th hour, literally, and rush bills through. Everything had to be in print. And so, in a sense, there was a lot less running around wondering what games were afoot. It was all about trying to figure out, okay, does this bill have the votes? Does that bill have the votes? And so some things didn't get through. In particular, we learned on Friday that the effort to regionalize California's grid was going to stall for the year, a setback to Governor Brown. It's something he has been pushing for. But at the same time, other bills were moving forward, even bills that looked like they'd be a handful of votes short, a couple of police bills. Those measures moved forward in the end, too.
Let's go back to what you just mentioned, wildfire liability, and start there. This package of bills, and it's important to emphasize that this bill addresses fires that started in 2017 or moving forward, but not before 2017.
Yes. So there are going to be different rules for fires in 2017 and fires from 2019 moving forward. Not included in the bill, anything about fires in 2018.
Really? And sits in the gap?
Well, so at first I thought this was an oversight because it was a very hastily crafted measure up against a deadline Tuesday because of the three-day in-print rule. But after asking around a bit more, it turns out that it may well have been intentional. Let's go through the rules because this is important. The end effect of this is going to be to transfer some of the burden from utility shareholders on Wall Street to utility ratepayers, you and me, here in California. So for 2017, the California Public Utilities Commission would conduct a stress test to determine the maximum amount of damages a utility could sustain without harming ratepayers or going bankrupt. And that would serve as a cap on their fiscal liability. And then costs that are passed along to ratepayers could be financed under a process called securitization, where you spread the costs out over several years to reduce the sticker shock on ratepayers' monthly utility bills. As for fires in 2019 and forward, the Public Utilities Commission will decide if a utility acted reasonably and will consider factors that include extreme weather conditions. And so depending on how things work out, the commission could order that costs be passed along to ratepayers and securitized. This is a change from the current system where the utilities are responsible for fires that are caused by their electrical equipment, even if they weren't negligent. And in the past, utilities have sought to pass some of the costs along to ratepayers, and it tends to not happen that much. So in theory, it could happen more moving forward.
What was some of the final comment from legislative leaders about this package of bills?
Well, let's hear from Assembly Speaker Anthony Rendon. I spoke with him in his office late Friday night.
Well, you're right that SDG&E did the right thing, and you're absolutely right. And I think everybody to a person in our legislature believes that PG&E has not done the right thing over and over and over again. They have consistently not learned their lesson. That being said, this is not a bailout. If you look at the stress tests involved, which was something that we as an assembly were insistent on, they're going to have to pay back. Depending on the CAL FIRE investigation, they're going to be held responsible to a large extent for what they did.
So what we heard the speaker say is San Diego Gas and Electric has earned the respect of lawmakers for its actions in response to 2007 wildfires in San Diego, making necessary investments to get their system to a better place than it was at that time. And the speaker does not feel, and apparently, according to him, lawmakers everywhere in the Capitol do not feel that PG&E has nearly done what it should on that. And so there is anger toward PG&E. And yet here you go with the bill that was being passed. You hear the speaker insisting it is not a bailout. Ratepayer groups are calling it a bailout, but it does not include what PG&E truly sought, which was a change to the overall liability law known as inverse condemnation that we've talked about on previous shows. So the utilities did not get what they most wanted, but they did get something, which they argue is crucial to avoid getting into bankruptcy. If a utility goes bankrupt, then a federal bankruptcy judge decides how the money gets spent and what gets passed along to ratepayers, rather than keeping the decisions, you know, for the California Public Utilities
Commission. It seems then that we might have a separate future conversation about the big fires already of 2018. And I saw this morning that the Mendocino Complex fire is now 97% contained. As an aside, there was a fire that erupted overnight, a much smaller one near Emigrant Gap in the Sierra. It is a U.S. Forest Service fire. CAL FIRE is assisting. But you were on the news desk this morning, so do you have an update on that fire?
They actually downgraded the size of it. Last night, they were saying 650 acres. This morning, it's 500 acres. Last night, it was 0% contained. This morning, it is 10% contained. I believe a handful of campsites and residences have been evacuated and closed. And, of course, we'll continue to monitor it. Right now, I got the feeling from talking to the Placer County Sheriff's Department this morning that they weren't running around in panic, that they felt pretty good about where things were at. But if the weather changes, it's a very dense area full of brush, full of trees, area that hasn't burned in decades. So this is one we'll need to keep an eye on. And of course, Cap Radio News will.
You're listening to Ben Adler, Cap Radio's Capital Bureau Chief. Very quick check in on net neutrality. And since that's going to the governor, where you think the governor might be, I know I'm never supposed to ask you about predictions, but
I'm not going to speculate on the gov on that. I sound like his press office. We're not going to speculate. But this is Jerry Brown. It is a measure that went further than the Obama era net neutrality restrictions. And so we'll see if the telecom industry is able to lobby the governor. It's a hard veto for a Democrat. It was a bill that once it got to 41 votes, everyone jumped on top of it because once it passed, you want to be seen as voting for it politically. We'll see. There's going to be a lot of people asking the governor to sign it and a lot of people asking him to veto it.
Can you go quickly through public safety bills?
Sure.
Okay.
So the big headliner, the governor signed the bail reform bill last week. So that one is over and done with.
Although there's already a referendum.
Thank you. So it is not over and done with, to your point, Beth, and thank you for reminding me. So if the bail industry is able to gather enough signatures to force it onto the November 2020 ballot, importantly, the law would not take effect until voters weigh in. If it doesn't qualify, it takes effect in October 2019, but more likely there will be money there and an industry where, 7,000 people are losing their jobs who are going to be more than happy to hit the streets to get signatures. So we'll see what happens there. Other bills to keep track of. The police use of force bill did not get through, but several other bills did, including police records, making it easier for the public and media to access police records, officer records for certain circumstances. Body camera bill got through, and a measure that deals with allowing judges to strike mandatory sentence enhancements for prior felony convictions got through as well. Some of these bills really frustrated Republicans that Democrats were able to put them through. Let's hear now from Assembly Republican leader Brian Daly.
I mean, you look at the sweeping change in this legislation cycle. It's bail, it's reducing sentencing, and we just came off of 47 and 57 AB 109. We have a lot of, they're letting out 100 lifers, according to Assemblymember Cooper, a month. I'm certain not all those people got just thrown in jail accidentally or prison. So I think we're going to be facing some, definitely public safety issues in California.
There is much more background on these bills at capradio.org. Let's wrap up, Ben, with something about the clock. Yeah, because we have public school start times and we have bar and nightclub closing times.
No relation other than the word clock between under 18s in school and bars staying open potentially
until
4 a.m.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So what about the 4 a.m. bar bill?
It passed. We'll see if the governor signs it. An effort last year failed in the legislature. This year, it's been narrowed down to large cities. That includes Sacramento as being in this pilot program. So we'll see if the city decides to move forward with it.
Okay. And public schools potentially starting no earlier than 8:30 in the morning?
Secondary schools, so junior high and high schools. Public only, but public charter schools are included in that. Yes. And that's a bill going to the governor that really broke down not on party lines, but it was a question of what's easier, what's best for kids, and contrasted to how working families could handle a later school start time.
Okay, very good. Glad to have you in the studio. Thanks, Ben.
Anytime.
That is Ben Adler, Cap Radio's Capital Bureau Chief. More at capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio.